Hi, I am Ross, a very grateful recovering compulsive overeater. And it is a pleasure to be here and to see so many people. I mean, incredible turnout. I love big meetings. I love small meetings. I love meetings. I will tell you a little about myself and then take you on my journey as best as I can, because it's been a long journey, as you will here. I am in September, and this was one day apart of 22. I celebrated 42 years of Overeaters Anonymous, never left, and abstinence. I've been abstaining for over 42 years, and in the beginning of the new year, because I don't have an exact date, I am maintaining approximately a 80-pound weight loss for 42 years. And all this was attained in only one way, only one possible way it could be attained. And that was one day at a time. Little did I know what would be happening to my life on in September in 1980 when I walked in. I just don't have, many pictures. I don't have any, well, I have one picture, and I'm going to try and screen share it, so hopefully it'll work. And I carry it in my wallet. I carry it in my wallet because, believe me, after that length of time, I would not really remember. Well, I would always remember my unhappiness, my obesity, the fact that I couldn't stop eating. I would always remember that. But exactly how I looked, I'm not sure if I would. And this picture is 4 years before I walked in. So I walked into the fellowship at age 31. In this picture, I'm 27, and this was actually my top weight, and about 95 pounds from what I am now. So when I walked into the program, I was on an upward swing, and I swang all the time, but mostly, but mostly during that time, I was, 50 or 60 pounds overweight. But the weight fluctuated, from 30 pounds from this weight until 90, till 95. So people didn't know a lot of times what I would look like the next time they would see. I don't even know what I would look like the next time I would see people. So anyway, which no further ado, that long introduction, let me try and show you that picture. And I always ask people to look at it, and to look at the picture, because what I seen at, first of all, I had really nothing to fit me, and this was at a wedding. And as far as that clothes, the jacket which I had to borrow, that's as far as it clothes. And I bring that up because, to a lot of people, it may not be a big deal. To me, it was just another indignity that I would suffer with this disease. And I also say, take a look at my eyes. And I look at him, and they look dull, and it looks like just a deadness to me. And probably, and no, probably. At that time, there was a deadness in me. I was miserable, and I would take it out on a lot of people too. So enough of that. And let me just get this all. Okay. And so I was a career dieter. I dieted for 14 years. I began at age 17, and I always like to tell this story. You know what? Before I tell that story, I don't usually plan my shares, but I was thinking about this, and I just wanted to focus on this before I would go into my, story. And I don't know, a year or so ago, someone I knew, hadn't seen in years, came to our meeting. This is a virtual meeting, and was a speaker. And the person said, "I'm a member of the No Matter What Club." And I had never heard that before. And what the person was saying, abstinence, no matter what. I used to say regularly, abstinence is the most important thing in my life. But, I always felt I had to qualify that. I had to explain it. I had to make sure you didn't think, compulsive overeaters worrying about what people think. No, never. That you wouldn't think that that's the only thing in my life, the physical. Because I truly do believe I have a disease. I truly do believe it attacks on three levels, spiritual, emotional, and physical. And I certainly do believe that the recovery must be on all those three levels. But I didn't want you to think that I didn't know that. So I would say, I would put something in. And I would say, I really need to work on the emotional side of my disease as well as the spiritual side of my disease. And then, I'm not sure if it was the second or third edition of the Fabulous Stories in the OA Brown Book. And this was a man, and he told us, he was telling his story, and in it, he talked about abstinence, and he said what I've been saying, just a little bit different. What he said was, only two words were added. God-given abstinence is the most important thing in my life, without exception. God did not give me a diet. God did not give me a food plan. God gave me a new way of life. And I will be ever grateful for that. In yesterday's For Today, the reading in the end said this also. Abstinence is my number one. Now I forgot. I knew this. I'm sorry. Abstinence is my number one priority without exception. And it is. The 12 steps are perfect. I'm imperfect. But there is one step I need to do perfectly. Without any kind of doubt, without any kind of wiggle room. And that's take the first step every single day, admitting I am powerless over food and that my life had become unmanageable. If I forget that or act like it's not the most important thing to take that commitment every day, I can go back to eating again. I am not immune to the first compulsive bite. Thank you, God, that I haven't experienced it. I am very grateful I haven't relapsed. And that's another thing. And you could tell already that this qualification is going to where, all different directions. But in my first year or so, you're probably not going to believe this. First year or so of recovery and abstinence, I was cocky. But I was in it one day at a time, and I knew that. But if you really want to get more people, and if you really want to offer more hope, you got to stop talking about relapse. I thought that. Then all of a sudden I realized another miracle. And there was recovery after relapse. And just thank you, God, I haven't experienced it. But my heart goes out to those who have. And over the years, I'm currently on my Inner Groups 12-Step Within Committee. And for 2 years at World Service as a delegate, I served on the 12-Step Within Committee. And I've worked on that. And I really know that if you truly believe and you have the membership requirement, as illustrated in the third tradition, you belong here. And I truly do believe that if you keep coming back, you really will. And you know, it's at the meetings and it's the fellowship, and you will get it. You know, it may take long. You know, our wills are strong. That was another thing. You know, I latched on to what I heard in the beginning. I have no willpower. I told people that because people would tell me in the beginning when I saw all the weight come off, you know, oh my God, what willpower. And I kept saying I have none. And nobody believed me, so I stopped saying it. But I found out something. And I found that I have something else. I have a strong will, and I can be very willful at times. And that was something that had to be addressed. And I'll say it had to go. I would love to tell you it has gone. I am never willful. My strong will has been replaced by willingness. Well, it has a lot of times, but not always. And all that means when that happens is it's just more work to do. Now back to my story. So I was a career dieter, and at age 17, my mother took me to a diet doctor. And back in the 60s, the late 60s, they did one thing. They gave you diet pills. And, you know, these were well received at the time. And they were really amphetamines. Not a great thing to give to a 17-year-old, and really not identifying, but one with a compulsive personality. But, you know, I have a lot of There Is a God story. And an early There Is a God story is I became ill. And I had an allergic reaction, so I was taking off them immediately. And basically, I got a diet, and I reported to him once a month. You know, first diet policeman. And there were other diet policemen, chiefly in a couple weigh-in pays that I was in. And I also began doing it for others. You know, losing the weight for other people, losing the weight for myself, only so other people would, you know, accept me and love me and like me. So and then, you know, that led to you know, different types of the way and pace I mentioned, diets that were in fashion, diets that I invented, one meal a day, two meals a day. The great experiment counting calories, and I computed. I had two diet type meals, and then I said calories, but I don't even know. But I mean, like, I computed in a bag of these little things with letters in them. It was about a 3/4-pound bag was about 1,000 calories. By the way, I am addicted to sugar, and not too good. So, I mean, all this kind of crazy stuff. And the one thing I found out was it became harder to diet, you know, to where in the beginning I could be on a few months. And towards the end, it was actually beginning. It was difficult to string days together. Diet just, you know, the thought of dieting just took over my life, you know. When I would start it, when I would end it, what I would take back. And it was just a merry-go-round and not a happy one. So I was at work.
Gentle reminder at 5.
Oh my goodness. Okay. See, sometimes I go into a, like an hour qualification. I should have thought first. But I will say this. I will tell you what really, you know, brought me into this. I was 12-stepped. I didn't know it at the time. And it was somebody who was, I didn't have high respect for. I heard he drank. He had a motorcycle, had a big beard. And I was not in the union, but I worked among Teamsters, and he was a Teamster. And he said the one thing that really changed everything. I see the way you eat. I was mortified because I was hiding at the time. We had a big, you know, warehouse, and we had different vending machines. And I worked in, and it was a refrigerated warehouse. So they issued these huge freezer coats that had huge pockets. So I would put my food, or whatever I was eating, junk food, in my pockets. And, you know, where could you find safe harbor? Because this guy just told me he sees the way I eat. Well, the bathroom stalls, you know, they were safe. And in the last 2 years, it just, my behavior with food just got out of hand, where I was like, you know, we all, you know, a lot of us have gone after, you know, food that we had thrown away because we couldn't stand it anymore. And after a couple hours, we went back. I did a course. I would, you know, just different things. And it became more disgusting and more out of hand. And I was feeling hopeless. And that person said to something called OA, I said, well, you know, I'm on this diet contest, which I was, you know, with people at work who would lose the first, but I don't know. You know, and I was gaining, I was approaching, you know, my top weight, and I knew it was like 95 pounds, and I said, boy, if I ever reach 100, and I was so fearful of that, but I was about to give up. A month went by, I just gave up on the bet, and the weight came, and I walked into my first meeting, and about a month later, he had said something strange to me, I would go with you. I said, what? And you probably all know what I'm going to say. What he said was, I'm in AA. And he 12-stepped me. And I won't have time for my Eskimo story, but he was my Eskimo, and he led me out of the wilderness. And he led me into this program. And I was a little frightened the first meeting because a lot, like some of us, religion, I thought I was wrong. And I heard compulsive eating, maybe for the first time. And I said, that's me. But the other word, I couldn't say out loud. It took me like, I always say 6 or 7 meetings, whatever it was. I could not say this word. And it was the disease of compulsive eating. Because disease.
Gentle reminder at 3.
Thank you. Diseases kill. And then I heard, this one's chronic. Then I heard, there's no cure for it. But it can be put in remission. And that's working and living the 12 steps one day at a time. You know, a lot has happened over the 42 years. And the one thing is that no matter what, I cannot eat over it. I can't. I heard a lot of things in program, and this was a year or two in program, and the seating was, you know, like audience seating wasn't around. So there was somebody behind me. I don't even know who said this, but the person said one of the most life-changing things I ever heard. And I never forgot it. And he said, I intend to be abstinent one day at a time for the rest of my life. Just one day at a time. And that one day at a time was so attractive to me in the beginning, because I always, you know, always look down the road. And the message was, don't look down the road. You can do it for today. And if that is, you can't, you do it for the next hour. And with that, I kept coming back. I have you know, as you know, been around a long time. I do service. I sponsor a lot of people. I do service at the group level. I do it beyond the group level. And, you know, I'm probably going to take some more on, and that's okay. I'm actually going to conclude so I could really, you know, so I could end this way. I can't see all of you, but those who I eat, and I'm not talking about, I'm just talking compulsively. Those who I see are not eating compulsively. The simplest definition, and I love the current definition of abstinence. It says it all. And a couple of years ago, I love what was added in the end on a daily basis. And so the simplest definition of abstinence is not eating, or not eating compulsively, but not eating. So everybody that I see here and hear here, as far as I'm concerned, you are abstinent. And I hope you take that God-given gift of abstinence and keep it one day at a time for the rest of your life. Thank you.